Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 91 of the NXT Nightcap, recapping the highs and lows from WWE's developmental brand. I am your host and humble guide, Keela Cash. Thank you so much for joining me as week 144 of WrestleTopia continues. Happy Wednesday morning, afternoon, and evening to you all as another busy week in the worlds of WWE and AEW continues. And last night was NXT going down live from the WWE Performance Center in Orlando, Florida. And we are a few days removed from Halloween Havoc going down live on Peacock this past Saturday. And it was a solid show, but probably one of the weakest NXT TakeOver adjacent shows that WWE has ever produced. Great opener, great finisher. The middle was definitely a choice with very few exceptions. But I gotta say, last night was a solid reset as we reach the end of the year with our final PLE for NXT, known as NXT Deadline, going down Saturday, December 10th on Peacock. That should be an 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern show, unless they decide to go directly head-to-head with Ring of Honor's final battle going down around the same date. The exact time will be at 4 o'clock p.m. Eastern, but we'll see if NXT will go head-to-head against Ring of Honor's final pay-per-view of 2022, as well as Promotional Wars 2022 continue one way or another. But we got some familiar faces coming back and a debut or two coming as well via the return of Dominik Dijakovic, a great wrestler. He's so amazing in the ring, and I'm so happy he's ditching the T-bar aspect of his gimmick because it sucked for the last 2 years. And we got some new crew, a person called Scripps. They left some kind of anonymous NXT PC voicemail message for some reason, and they are creepy, they're ominous, and they are vowing destruction to everyone that stands in their way. That's pretty extreme. We'll see how that goes in the weeks to come. And we got the reveal of the newest member of the Schism. I will try to care about this, but the reveal was something, and it is going to be a big test for one of the most prolific next generation stars in WWE history. I'll get to all of that shortly, but let's kick things off with the NXT Women's Tag Team Championship match involving the champs, Katana Chance and Kayden Carter, versus the team of Zoe Stark and Nikita Lyons. I thought this match over-delivered. We got great action, amazing near falls, and a dusty finish, because that's what NXT does from time to time. But I love the action between Katana Chance and Zoe Stark early on, as Katana goes for her Karana on Zoe Stark. Zoe Stark flips out of that, only to eat the Rana a short time later by Katana. From there, Katana and Kayden Carter go for a stereo dive on top of Nikita Lyons and Zoe Stark, but they are caught in midair by both ladies as Lyons and Stark drop them with stereo body slams on the outside. As we go to a picture-in-picture commercial break, we come back and the babyfaces are back on offense for a bit as Kayden Carter makes a blind tag, but in doing so, she is clotheslined out of the ring by Zoe Stark, who skins the cat, and Katana goes for an enziguri to be blocked by Zoe Stark, who rolls her up to become the new NXT Women's Tag Team Champions. But unbeknownst to her, there was a tag made. The referee did not see it, and Katana was not the legal person. Kayden Carter was. We have a lead official come out to overrule the referee, and Alicia Taylor announces this match will be restarted due to referee error. We restart the match and all four ladies in the ring trading shots. Kayden Carter wipes out Nikita Lyons with a crossbody on the outside, and we get Katana Chance landing a badass top rope Spanish fly to Zoe Stark for the nearest of near falls that pops this crowd. Zoe kicks out at 2.99999. She flops like a fish to kick out. It was great. From there, Nikita Lyons tags in and she hits Kayden Carter with a nasty spin kick to the face, followed by the jumping splits for the win, which is broken up by Katana Chance at the last moment. The fans are going crazy at this point. Eventually, Kayden Carter wipes out Zoe Stark on the outside, and she delivers some low kicks to the left leg of Nikita Lyons to wear her down. She makes a tag to Katana Chance, and they hit that assisted 450 splash on Nikita Lyons to retain the NXT Women's Tag Team titles. I thought this was a really strong match down the stretch. Really good chemistry between all four ladies, and the near falls were absolutely everything, as we would get a rematch between Nikita Lyons and Zoe Stark versus Katana Chance and Kayden Carter for these titles at a date to be determined. And that match could be better than this one if they're given more time and they get to do more things in the ring as well, because last night was pretty damn fun to kick off NXT. Next up was Wesley coming out as the brand new NXT North American champion, and he was so humble, so sweet, very emotional as well, as he realized a lifetime dream of being a singles champion in WWE. He was a two-time tag team champion, obviously, but winning on his own, having the fan support, meant a lot. They loved him. They respected what he did, and he realized he can do anything if he put his heart and mind to it. The fans said, "You deserve it." They chanted for Wes. They loved this guy, and it was so beautiful to see that love and reaction this past Saturday at Halloween Havoc, which leads to Grayson Waller coming out to spoil the fun, to be an ass per the usual. And then we get a surprise appearance by noted international treasure R-Truth. The fans pop, they sing What's Up, and he thinks that tonight is Halloween Havoc. Now, technically, if this was last year, Halloween Havoc would have been celebrated on TV on USA before it became a PLE. For Peacock, he was off by a few days, and Grayson Waller tries to check him, but R-Truth claims that Grayson Waller has a British accent, and Grayson says, "No, I'm Australian." R-Truth doesn't believe it, but Wesley does let R-Truth know that, hey, Halloween Havoc was on Saturday, and I won a championship, by the way. And R-Truth marks out for him, and then he asks Grayson Waller, "What happened to you?" And Wesley says he lost in a casket match to Apollo Crews. And Truth says, "Apollo's that guy. He's that dude. We check for him." And Grayson Waller is irritated by all of this, and he challenges R-Truth to a match next Tuesday on NXT. He tries to sneak attack Truth, but he gets dropped courtesy of Lee and R-Truth as they're celebrating the ring to wrap up this segment. I thought this was sports entertainment at its best. R-Truth never misses on the comedy front. I was laughing because he's great in every way. If he can break Brock Lesnar in a ring, he can break anybody. And last night, he tried his damnedest to get the best of Grayson Waller. And Grayson just took it. He smiled his way through it in spots, and he is going to have a very interesting match against R-Truth next Tuesday on NXT as we continue that main roster NXT synergy, which is so fun because you never know who's going to pop up on a Tuesday night. Keeps you guessing, keeps you tuned in, and it gives us a reason to invest in Raw, SmackDown, and NXT, because stars can pop up anywhere at any time. And speaking of which, next up was Shotzi versus Lash Legend. This match was thankfully short because Lash is still very green in the ring, but her power spots are usually pretty good as she ragdolled Shotzi around a few times until Quincy Elliott caused a little bit of trouble at ringside by blowing Lash Legend a kiss until Shotzi regained control and landed a DDT on Lash for the win a short time later. Easy breezy matchup to get Shotzi a win on her old stomping grounds, and she's so much better as a babyface. Comfortable, livelier, the offense is crisper because when she's trying to be a heel, I never bought it. And I like the edge on SmackDown last year against Sasha Banks, but beyond that, the old creative administration never pushed her past a certain point. But she is really good when she's able to be herself in the ring and kick a whole lot of ass in the process. As I miss my wild child doing crazy shit on the regular, and here's hoping we get more of that in the months to come. Next up was supposed to be Brutus Creed versus Damon Kemp, but Kemp is still under the effects of that grueling ambulance match between himself and Julius Creed this past Saturday at Halloween Havoc. And Julius is also still in the after effects because his finger are still swollen and bruised from getting his hand smashed by Damon Kemp repeatedly as he caught that door in order to save his brother's job. The pain and the brutality is on Julius's fingers, and I cannot be him because I have a low tolerance for pain. If my fingers get smashed into anything, I am going to cry like a baby. Julius kept fighting. He whooped ass and won. And I know he fell to the next day, so here's hoping his fingers recover and nothing was seriously damaged on the phalanges front, because damn, that sucks. So after Damon Kemp says, "I ain't got time for this tonight," the Creed brothers are attacked from behind by Veer Mahan and Sangha. And Sangha has immediate regret about going after the Creed brothers. He can't take the shot. Veer Mahan's not scared as he lays out Julius with the $1 million lariat. And Sangha is in the fight, but at the same time, he feels bad about doing this to his friends. And even Ivy now comes out to say, "What are you doing? This isn't right. This isn't you," to end the segment. And I thought this was very interesting. Sangha and Veer Mahan reunited. Sangha feels some kind of way about doing things by the book, but he's in on the fight nonetheless. But I'm sure he's going to feel some kind of way about this in the weeks to come. But I really enjoyed an interview that Shawn Michaels did promoting Halloween Havoc a few days ago, and that he wants to get away from the foreign menace characters that have been a part of WWE for the last 30 plus years. That you mean mug and you get the stereotypical heat, but Sangha and Veer Mahan are stylish, classic, badasses. They wear designer suits. They're fine, gorgeous men. And they're all about living that lifestyle of the rich and famous. And for that, I respect it. It's modern. It's a twist that we need in WWE today. No more mean mugging. No more antiquated shit that doesn't feel right in 2022. I love this level up for Sangha, and especially Veer, who can be himself. He's a stylish, classy guy on Twitter and the gram all the time. That is what makes them stand out. Let's not go back to tropes that don't work today. I love that idea by Sean to say, let's get these guys something different to work with. Let's modernize them. Let's make them cool badasses. And we see that via their presentation last night. And for that, I am grateful because I've been saying that as well the last few months prior to Veer's official debut on Monday Night Raw post WrestleMania. He disappeared, but now he's reset on NXT to get over as the True Story is meant to be, right alongside Sangha, who's equally charismatic as the guy that offers zen-like advice, but now he's got to take some of his own as he tries to wrestle with doing the right thing for himself or doing it for your friend who wants you to do really, really bad things in order to get ahead. Ah, the moral complex of it all, but I love it. Next up is Idris Enofe and Malik Blade versus Pretty Deadly's Kit Wilson and Elton Prince for the NXT Tag Team Championship. This was another good match. It wasn't perfect towards the end, but I love the fire for Malik Blade, who has rapidly improved in the last year or so in terms of in-ring work and personality, as he wipes out Kit Wilson with a middle rope blockbuster, followed by Idris Enofe going up top and landing an elbow drop on Wilson for a very close near fall. And Pretty Deadly have to fight from underneath. They can't believe that Idris Enofe and Malik Blade got the jump on them, but they get back on offense in the picture-in-picture commercial break until Idris Enofe gets back in there, whoops ass accordingly. Very talented in the ring. He gets double teamed Pretty Deadly as well until Malik Blade gets that hot tag and he runs wild with drop kicks to Prince and Wilson. He lands a flip dive on both members of Pretty Deadly that pops a crowd as well, followed by a gorgeous crossbody to Kit Wilson as well for a close two count. But as Malik Blade and Idris Enofe go for their finisher, he is stopped by Elton Prince. Elton gets in the ring. He's a legal man. They go for spilled milk, but Malik Blade rolls up Elton for the nearest of near falls, pops the crowd, pops Elton. Booker's going crazy. Vic's going insane on commentary, but ultimately Malik Blade eats the spilt milk by Pretty Deadly as they retain the NXT Tag Team titles. Really fun match down the stretch. The clothesline spot to get Idris out the ring was not perfect, but the end of the match was pretty damn good with a near fall that got us all once again following the opener from earlier tonight as well. Next up is the reveal of the newest member of the Schism, and I'm going to be fair in saying that I am intrigued by this, but at the same time, anytime Joe Gacy, Rip Fowler, or Jagger Reed speak, I tune out, I zone out, I tap out, I do not care. It's like listening to the teacher from Charlie Brown. Wah, 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 wah. I don't give a shit. Now, the reveal of their newest member got me. It's Ava Raine, aka Simone Johnson, aka Dwayne The Rock Johnson's daughter, fourth generation star. She has been angling for this debut for a very long time. Injuries have caused a few setbacks for her, but she is on TV now, and I'm sure her dad is super proud of her. And she says, I found my family, I found my purpose, I'm here now. She's a part of the Schism, and we'll see where this goes. I want her to succeed so much. She's worked so hard to be on TV. She's done some house show work on the mic over the last few months via the Coconut Circuit. And I hope she thrives and shines, because being in your dad's shadow is no easy feat. But you can forge your own path and become your own star by being your best self. The in-ring work is going to be a test. The promo skills will come along the way. Nobody is perfect out of the gate. We got some unicorns pop through every 20 years. But if she can find her own path and be herself and she makes it, it's a win. This is the groundwork for that via NXT, her first true taste of national television fame. Good luck to Ava Raine. Next up is Indi Hartwell versus Sal Ruca. This was a short match. Sal Ruca had a moments of acrobatics as always. Nice backflips here. Springboard kind of goes awry on the corner. And Indy delivers a lariat to Sal Ruca, followed by a forearm strike to the back, and she pins her for the win. Powerhouse Indy wins another match. Good for her. Her offense has been tailored a bit to her strengths of being a powerhouse in the ring and not relying so much on springboard stuff, because that elbow went awry a few months ago on 2.0, which was a bad look. But rely on what she's good at, keep it short and simple, and we're good. But I still want more progress for Indy against better opponents down the road, as she still has a ways to go. Personality is a check. In-ring stuff is still shaky, but I can see the effort of her trying different things in order to firmly establish what she can do in the ring long term. And for that, I respect her hustle. And now it is time for the main event featuring Ilya Dragunov versus JD McDonagh. This was a grueling battle between two seasoned vets who know each other dating back to NXT UK and beyond. And this was a really nasty matchup. Ilya is selling some ribs from the beatdown he took this past Saturday at Halloween Havoc against Bron Breakker and JD McDonagh for the NXT Championship. That spear by Breakker really hurt Dragunov, and JD smelled blood on the water immediately when after those ribs, despite Elio kicking things off with the German suplex, followed by a rapid fire strike and chop exchange with McDonough, but McDonough is going to go after those bad ribs. He's going to send Dragunov into the announce table very hard, ribs first, as we go to commercial break with medical staff rushing in to see if he could continue this matchup. We come back and McDonough continues to go after the ribs of Dragunov. Dragunov does fight back and he continues to sell the ribs by landing a chop to the chest, abdomen, and back of McDonough at one point before going for a superplex off the top rope. Dragunov is going to fall to his knees, goes for the torpedo after McDonough taunts him. He goes charging, but unfortunately for Dragunov, McDonough catches him midstream with a crossface into an abdominal stretch, and he's going to stretch Dragunov and he's going to go after those ribs, and it's incredibly painful to watch. The crossface was shit, I will say that, but the stretch was pretty good, and Dragunov was selling, he was fighting, he was in pain, and the referee had every right to call this match maybe 30 seconds beforehand. As Dragunov was fading fast, he eventually started bleeding from his mouth and he went to sleep, and the referee called the match via ref stoppage, and JD McDonough won, and he did not let go of the hold at first until he was pulled off of Dragunov. Medical personnel put Dragunov on a stretcher to roll him out the arena as JD looked on, very proud of his handiwork, as NXT goes off the air a little before 10:08 p.m. Eastern. I thought this was a really good main event. It puts over McDonough, but it also puts over the toughness of Dragunov. He did not tap out. He went to sleep. He was not going to give JD the satisfaction of beating him cleanly via tap out. So this feud must continue. But Dragunov is amazing. He is too good for NXT, in my humble opinion. He's so much better suited on SmackDown against the Brutes, Sheamus, Butch, another battle with Gunther, Ludwig Kaiser, Giovanni Vinci, Drew McIntyre. Hell, give me Elio versus Roman Reigns in 6 months. I would take it. That's how great this guy is. He's a great asset to WWE, and he has a chance to thrive and survive under this environment with people not judging you for your size or your accent, because it doesn't matter when your talent supersedes all of that at the end of the day. And that wraps up a pretty solid NXT to cap off a Halloween Havoc week that was spooky fun, a little shaky in spots in terms of booking and match layout, but I like how NXT reset the table heading into Deadline in a couple of months' time on Peacock to wrap up the year in terms of PLEs for the developmental brand. And I like the hybrid of what NXT is now. It's going to be a mix of main roster talent and developmental stars and seasoned indie stars coming together to produce a very fun Tuesday night show every single week. The perfect formula that should have been a long time ago, but sometimes you got to go back to basics. You got to go back home to get to where you need to be to get your stars ready for the future. And this formula, this method works for me, and it is about damn time it's put into action on the regular. And you got the Coconut Circuit up and running. You got Level Up as a way to be a bridge between NXT and the main roster as well. So all is looking up for the revamped developmental brand as we head towards the end of 2022. And on that note, this wraps up episode number 91 of the NXT Nightcap, recapping the highs and lows from WWE's developmental brand. I hope you enjoyed it. As always, you can follow me on social media at Lady Wrestling X on Twitter and on Instagram at WrestleTopia. They can find me tweeting and gramming about these podcast shows, the dropping list of my daily recapping Monday Night Raw, NXT, AEW Dynamite, Friday Night SmackDown on FS1 this week, and AEW Rampage on TNT. You know what to do, such WrestleTopia, and follow me on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Audible, Google Podcasts, Buzzsprout, iHeartRadio, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn plus Amazon Alexa, and Spotify. I'll be back tomorrow morning with episode number 86 of The Dynamite Effect, recapping the highs and lows from AEW Dynamite on TBS. Until then, enjoy your hump day, stay safe out there, and don't forget to wash those hands. See you later, boys and girls. Take care.